Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 19th day of October, 2023. And I'm so thrilled to have back on the program a guest that I began interviewing yesterday. And the conversation was so fascinating and was so packed full of information that we ran out of time before we actually were able to cover the main theme of our discussion, which is the testimony of a former astrologer. I'm talking about Marcia Montenegro, former astrologer who was saved by the grace and mercy of Christ Jesus and founded CANA, which stands for Christian Answers to the New Age. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back for part two of our discussion, Marcia Montenegro.
Hi, Chris. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Well, thank you for taking the time to be on for 2 days in a row. And by the way, I just wanted to get this clarified. Do you nickname your ministry CANA or CANA because it's spelled C-A-N-A as far as the acronym is concerned?
I say CANA. That's okay. How I say it. Yeah. I came up with that because that Jesus, his first recorded miracle was performed at the wedding at CANA. Yeah.
Right.
So that was Christian Answers. That's how my acronym, I wanted my acronym to have, you know, to have something to say the New Age, but also to be connected to Scripture.
Right. And the actual website is ChristianAnswersNewAge.com.
Right. Correct.
Well, for any of our listeners who want to get more of the details of the journey that my guest, Marcia Montenegro, went through, which led to her becoming an astrologer herself, please listen to the recording that should be posted fairly soon of yesterday's interview. That was on Wednesday, October 18th. Where we had part one of the testimony of a former astrologer. And today we are entering into part two, and we don't want to repeat too much of that information because we want to venture into uncovered territory and want to give you some new information that we had not yet already discussed. So let's at least start right now, Marcia, with a working definition of astrology. And I know some people mistakenly make astrology and astronomy synonyms, but they're not, obviously. So why don't you tell our listeners about astrology?
Okay, sure. And let me say something about astronomy, because actually that seems to be a very common mistake I have run into quite often. So I do want to say astronomy is a study of space and heavenly bodies. And it's done, you know, by looking at data from outer space and researching that. So it's not based on a spiritual belief system. It's like based on actual observation and coming to conclusions.
Right.
Astrology uses some of the same data in order to make calculations. But what astrology does is give an interpretation to the planets, the zodiac signs, and the position of the planets at certain times. So the astrologer is seeing a meaning behind these things, which of course the astronomer does not see a meaning. So that's the difference. And when you see a meaning, when you give a meaning to something where there is no obvious meaning, you're reading a hidden meaning into something, that is divination. So astrology is a form of divination. And
so in other words, all people who would call themselves astrologers would believe in divination, and perhaps you could even define that more clearly.
Okay, yes, let me do that. Divination is one of the three components of the occult, which are sorcery, spirit contact, and divination. Those are the three areas of the occult. Things can overlap. So something can be divination and spirit contact, or sorcery and spirit contact. But those are the three areas. And divination, which is sometimes called fortune telling, which I don't think is really a very good word, is actually getting information beyond the natural, either by reading hidden meanings into creation or into numbers, into shapes, into pictures, or it is getting information supernaturally that you believe is going to inform you about the past, present, or future. So a psychic is doing divination. A psychic who they have different views on what they think, where they think they're getting the information, but they're not getting it from natural sources or in the natural manner. You know, you're not using your five senses, you know, reading about it or something like that. It's coming supernaturally. So when you're doing that kind of thing to get information or reading a hidden meaning in something, you're doing divination.
Now, when you were a practicing astrologer, what else did you do other than inform people about what they can expect in their futures because of their zodiac sign? Did you do palm reading? Did you do tea leaf reading? Did you do seances and many of these other things that you will even see on signs on people's, either their homes where they practice these things or their storefronts or what have you? There are a number of them in the area where I live where you drive around and you'll see these signs out front that have astrologer, have palm reading, have all kinds of things like that on the signs. Is that like a jack of all trades kind of a thing, or are there differences amongst astrologers who may be more narrow in their practices, et cetera?
Okay, I'm really glad you asked about that, because everything you just described, the storefront thing, is a completely different category. It is okay. Not what I did. What you described are the con artists, the scam artists. And those are probably, you know, that fortune tellers, that would probably apply to them, because that tends to be a very derogatory term among New Agers who do things like astrology and tarot card reading.
So you could say with confidence that all of them are con artists. Now let's make our listeners understand what we're saying here. We believe all of this is from the pit of hell.
Yeah,
we believe it's all satanic, but there are some people who are actually involved in satanic, occultic, supernatural practices and experiences that are real. But just because something is real does not mean that it is good. Like, for instance, we have biblical evidence that the Witch of Endor may have actually brought Samuel to the presence of Saul in the Old Testament. It never says that it was a fake apparition or anything. But that doesn't mean it was a good thing. It was something that was condemned of God, in fact, punishable by death in the Old Covenant. So we're not saying, just because we're saying some of these things are real, we're not saying that they're good. But anyway, I've interrupted okay. you. Go ahead.
I think God brought Saul up, and the medium or the witch was surprised. I don't think
you mean
she
Samuel.
Samuel, I'm sorry. I don't think right. she expected to see Samuel.
Right, right.
I think
right.
what she saw was not what she usually saw. But right. I think she probably did bring spirits who were fallen angels, mm-hmm. you know, maybe pretending to be the dead. That's what I think mediums do today. But yeah, there are people who are seriously into this. It's usually part of their spiritual belief system, like it was for me and all my mm-hmm. friends and all the astrologers, tarot card readers, psychics, mediums, etc., that I knew. Then there are the other classification, I'm not wanting to say con artists in a derogatory way, like I'm
is there any other way?
Well, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm not trying to say that what I did was like superior, or that the people who do it seriously are somehow superior to the con artists. They're both wrong. You know, both categories are wrong. In a way, what the serious people do, like what I did, is worse, because we're actually into it. The right. the con artists who do it usually don't really know that much about it, but they're good at reading people and conning them. And that just happens to be the way they con them. You know, there are different kinds of cons, and you can do money schemes and all kinds of cons. And we know on the internet that's very pervasive. We know the Nigerian emails and all that stuff that used to be around a lot. So there are different ways to con people. And one way you can con them is to convince them you have this information on them.
Right.
Just give me $25 and for 15 minutes, I'm going to tell you about your life right now.
And people who also call.
There
are people who do this by phone, too.
Yes, exactly. Like the psychic hotline. Now, some of the people who do that may actually know enough that part of what they're doing is authentic. So I don't rule that out. I think some of them may actually know some stuff and they're actually doing it. But I happen to know that a large number of these people who do it are the Roma people, which we usually call gypsies, but that's a very derogatory term. My sister was a missionary to the Roma people for a really long time, so I'm real sensitive to this. And she told me that, like, I even know around here, there's one family that owns several psychic places, mm-hmm. and it's run by one family, and they're Roma people. And they do this as their way to get money from the, there's a word they use, I think it's the goy. No, that's the Jewish word. There's a word like that where Jews use for non-Jews.
Right.
There's a word the gypsies use for non-gypsies.
And yeah, I've heard them say that, and I don't remember what it is either.
I don't remember it either, but that's their way to make the money off of the non-gypsies. My sister told me a lot of them don't believe it. However, they do have their own superstitions. And may actually have occult views about things. So I'm not saying they're completely separate from it, but what they're doing when they're reading palms and you know, looking into a crystal ball or something is all kind of a con game. And so that category is totally distinct, different kinds of people. And the two categories never cross paths. I mean, they're completely separate. So
are you saying that the Roma people predominantly are, when they are practicing these things, are charlatans, are knowing charlatans? They're not.
Yes.
Okay.
My sister told me they do not do it on each other. They only do it on the non-gypsies. Now, that's according to my sister. So I'm going by her as an authority. But they don't do it on each other. So this is like a business for them. This is a business. And of course, not all of them do that. I'm not trying, you know, we know not all Roma people are like that, but that there, a lot of them do it. Now, of course, there are people who are not Roma who also do it, who are just plain con artists. And you're always reading these newspaper stories, you know, psychic arrested, you know, she got, you know, $80,000 from this woman who gave her all her savings. And often it's, you know, you have to give me your money because there's a curse on you and I can remove the curse. If you give it, give her jewelry and I'll melt it and remove the curse and all that kind of stuff. So that's a totally distinct, separate category. So what I'm talking about is people in the New Age and the occult who do astrology or palm reading or numerology or tarot cards very seriously. Now, some of them do more than one. Like there might be somebody who does astrology and tarot cards, or they might do tarot cards and numerology. I only did astrology. I took classes yesterday when we left off. I had just gotten to the part where I said I took classes in astrology and psychic development, and I took other classes like numerology. I took palm reading. I took past life regression and a few other things. I didn't take tarot. I don't think they had a tarot card class, but someone gave me tarot cards and I had a book and I taught it to myself. But I never did a reading on anybody with it. I just did readings on myself, which actually you're not supposed to do. But I did. Not a lot of them. I was much more into astrology. So everything else paled in comparison to me. You know, tarot cards, numerology, all of that stuff seemed very superficial because it didn't have the complexity of astrology. And the complexity and the difficulty of astrology is what fascinated me and what kept me with it, what kept me staying in it, because you can never finish learning. Like you can just do it for years and you never know everything that there is to know about astrology. So that was one thing that really kept me in it. And I found it to be so accurate that, you know, why would I want to try something else? So I didn't bother to spend time on the other areas, even though I knew about them. And I could do, you know, numerology. I did a little bit of numerology on some people for fun, but where you take their name and birth date and you convert it into these numbers. And then it means something. But I still found that very superficial. And so I was an astrologer. I didn't read palms, you know. I have a lot of people who ask me when I tell them I was an astrologer, and they'll say, oh, you know, and they'll put their palm out and say, oh, read my palm, you know. And I'm like, no, that's not what I did. And of course, I wouldn't do that anyway. So it's good for Christians to know that there's this category of the fortune teller, con artist type. And then there's the serious category. People may advertise in publications and they may have business cards like I did, but they're not going to have a sign on their home, and they're not going to have a storefront. Now, they might have a business, a legitimate right. business they're running, but it's not going to be what we call the storefront type things. You know, Madam Zora reads your future, that kind of thing.
And of course, using the term legitimate for it is somewhat debatable.
Well, it is. And what I'm trying to say is it's not set up to con people.
Right.
I never.
You believed what you were doing was real.
I totally believed it.
In fact, in one sense, it was real, but it was evil.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, what did you when somebody looked up your name or found it by chance in a magazine, a newspaper, word of mouth, they contacted you? What exactly happened in your meetings with these people? Did you go to them? Did they go to you? And what exactly happened?
Okay, initially, I mostly went to people's homes. A few times I went to their workplaces, and we did it on their lunch hour. And a few times, if it was during the day when my son was at school and my husband was at work, they would come to my place, actually quite a few times. It was kind of a 50-50. So if they could come during the day, they would come to where I lived. If they couldn't come during the day and it was in the evening, I would go to where they lived, other than the few times I went to their workplaces during lunch because they couldn't get away long enough to come to my place. So it was a mixture. And the other place I did it was at that place where I was the resident astrologer that I mentioned yesterday. If somebody came to them and said, or called them and said, I want an astrology chart done, they would call me and then I would call the person. We would arrange to meet there it was called the Foundation of Truth. I know you're going to love that name. was the name of it. The foundation, that's where I took my first astrology classes, psychic development, numerology, palm reading. And it was run mainly, there was a board of people who ran that organization. They were mostly all psychics and mediums. Some of them were my teachers. And so they rented a building. The building was owned by the Daughters of the American Revolution. And they rented the building to the Foundation of Truth. The Foundation of Truth did not own that building. And we had all our classes and our meetings and the Daughters of American Revolution building, which had all these paintings of these historical people in the revolution.
Right.
It was very bizarre. It was such a bizarre setting for what was going on, you know. And so I would go there to that building, which was a very nice building, and I would do a reading with a person. And what the way I did this was I would get the data ahead of time from the person. I would have the chart done. There was a place at the time you could send off for it. This is before people had computers. And you could calculate it yourself because I had to learn how to do that for the test. But it's very time consuming. It takes, you know, it takes a fair amount of time to do that. And you don't want to make a mistake. So there was a place in California where I could send the data and $2 and they would send me a chart like 3 or 4 days later. So that's how I got the chart. Then I would have arranged a time with the client and then we would get together, whether at my place or their place or another place. And I would look at the chart. I would have already looked at it before they came. I would have just kind of looked at it to see what jumped out at me, to look at main anything that seemed interesting or important in the chart, because there are certain places you look for that. And I might have, when I was first doing this, I spent more time looking at it before I saw the person because I was, you know, I was more nervous about it. But once I had been doing it for a while and I could just look at a chart and start reading it really without any preparation at all. But I usually did look at it before I saw the person. And then they would sit there and I would record it and we would start, you know, I would start talking. So that's how I did it. Most of these people were people I did not know or I knew very slightly. I didn't know them well. I actually did not want to do charts for people I knew well. Because I felt that it would bias me. I would know things about them and that would interfere with me just reading the chart. So I actually didn't want to do charts for people I knew well. I did do for a very few, but usually I did not do that. So mostly I didn't know these people.
So these charts, they are specifically regarding the birth date of the individual who you are doing, for whom you are doing a reading, and the alignment of planets and stars and how that's supposed to be all connected. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yeah, it's the birth date and birthplace. The place is very important because if you're born at, you know, 3:04 p.m. in Los Angeles and somebody else is born at the same time on the East Coast, which would be, you know, I guess 6:04 p.m. because it would be 3, but that's still the same time. The charts are going to be very different because of the location, because what you're looking at is where the planets are in a fixed zodiac belt, which is an important point, because actually the zodiac has shifted, but most astrologers use the fixed zodiac belt in relation to the place the person was born and the time they were born. And just a few minutes can shift it. So that it's very important to have as precise a birth time as possible. And most people had their birth time. It was on their birth certificate or something, or somebody in the family knew. Sometimes they didn't know. And in that case, the astrologer can do something which is a way to find out the time or the approximate time by asking about major things in their life. It's very common. I'm not going to get into it because it's very technical, but there's a way to do that. I didn't like doing it because it's mathematical and it's kind of difficult. I was terrible at math, by the way. It was my worst subject. It's a wonder I passed any of my math courses at all. It's just a wonder because I cannot do math. But I had to learn it to pass the astrology exam, and I had to use it in my practice. Right. So there's a way where you can figure approximate time for a person, and you just go with that. But in most cases, people knew.
Now, other than the information that you've given, that many people look in their local newspaper for an astrology section, and so on, and what their astrological sign is. Other than this stuff that almost seems like bad math or fake math.
No, it's real math. The math is real.
Okay, well, what I mean by that is you're taking an equation involving information and coming to a conclusion that can be completely false. But what I'm trying to get to, though, is where does the actual supernatural come in, where you're getting information from spirit guides or anything else that would be involving perhaps necromancy and things that are condemned as crimes punishable by death in the old covenant that are involved in sorcery? What is going on in these meetings that involve those things?
Oh, well, there's no contact with the dead. That's not part of astrology. But, first of all, you're doing divination. And when you're doing divination, you're opening yourself up to spirit guides. I mean, I already had my spirit guide from that guided visualization that we talked about yesterday. But I had other spirit guides that I felt were guiding me through the chart. So already, I believe all serious astrologers, anybody, they don't even have to be an astrologer, just being in the New Age. If you're in the New Age for a while, you'll have spirit guides. If you're in the occult, you'll have spirit guides. And these spirit guides are talked about openly in that community of people. Everybody's aware of it. And, one of my psychic development teachers even went around the room and told us and said she looked at each of us and then she told us who our spirit guides, who she saw around us as our spirit guides. So right away, as soon as you do an occult practice seriously, you have opened the door to the supernatural because you've opened the door to guidance from fallen angels. Then you're doing divination, which is condemned by God very heavily in several passages. Even in the New Testament, in Acts 16, you have the girl, the slave girl that right. Paul encounters, who is, it says, possessed, or she has the spirit of the python, which was connected to divination. Now, I point to that to show a New Testament example, but I also try to explain to people this does not mean that people who do this are possessed. I think the point of that passage, there's probably several points, but one of the points of that passage was to show that at the root of divination, because it said she had the spirit of divination, which in literally was the spirit of the python. And so I think what God was showing us is that at the root of divination is demons, is Satan. In other words, it's demonic to do this kind of thing. So I don't think I was ever possessed, and I don't think any of my friends were possessed. And I don't think that's a necessity to do these kind of things. You just have to be under the influence and open to the guidance of the spirit guides. So part of it is, that's a big part of it that makes it the supernatural and that makes it fall into the category of the occult and the practices forbidden by God. So you have divination going on now. You have spirit contact because of the spirit guides, but astrology itself is not technically something. You're not trying to have spirit contact. You're not doing something to contact a spirit, but it just happens automatically. And the other thing that happens that's very important to know is that I would usually automatically go into an altered state of consciousness. while I was doing the chart reading. Now, this is the same state of consciousness that you go into when you do Eastern forms of meditation, which are now very popular in this country. And sometimes they're called stress relaxation. They're actually based on the process of doing Eastern meditation, which, of course, I had done because I had, you know, learned the Tibetan Buddhist meditation, and then I learned Zen Buddhist meditation. And prior to that, I had done other kinds of meditations I learned about that were, I don't know what you'd want to call them, just New Age or occult forms of meditation. There are many, many ways to do these meditations, but all of them will put most people into an altered state of consciousness. And when you're in that state, your mind is open to any information or influence that wants to come in, and you are suggestible. Your mind's very suggestible to things. So it's basically a light hypnotic trance state. And when I say trance, I don't mean you don't know what's going on, so it's probably not a good word. It's a light hypnotic state. And you're completely aware of your surroundings, and you're talking to the person, and, you know, I'm looking at the chart and analyzing, but I'm in this altered state where I am open to the guidance. So I think that some of the information I got, not all of it, but some of it was from my spirit guides most of the time. Other information was just me analyzing the chart based on the principles of astrology.
Let's pick up where you left off, because we have to go to our first commercial break.
Okay.
But let me just say one thing that I've always found fascinating about the slave girl who was the medium. She kept repeating something that was true. She kept saying, "These men are bond servants of the Most High God, who mm-hmm. are proclaiming to you a way of salvation." Now, the incorrect thing there was a way of salvation, mm-hmm. not the. But Paul commanded her in the name of Jesus Christ, commanded the spirit to come out of her. He was shutting her up, even though she was saying something that was true.
Right, exactly. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, let's go to the first. Let's go to the first break, and you could say what you wanted to say then.
Okay.
If anybody wants to ask their own question, send it immediately. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureComm Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureComm Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureComm Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
When Iron Sharpens Iron radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We're now back with our guest today, Marcia Montenegro, who is a former astrologer who was saved by the grace, mercy, and blood of our Lord and Savior and King Jesus Christ. And we are discussing part two of her testimony that we began yesterday. If you have any questions, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And when we went to the commercial break, I had mentioned the interesting fact that in Acts 16, the slave girl who was a medium was saying something that was largely true, with the exception of one word. She was repeating over and over again that these men are bondservants of the one true God who are showing a way of salvation. And of course, that's the false aspect of it. A way of salvation, who are proclaiming to you a way of salvation rather than the way of salvation. But, and I was just saying, though, it is interesting that the demonic realm did not provoke her to say, avoid these men, don't believe them, they are liars. You know, she actually said something that was largely true, which is a reminder to us that when the devil masquerades as an angel of light, he is not going to be necessarily just lying about everything. And as he did in the garden, he mixed truths with falsehoods. But anyway, and you wanted to say something, and I told you to wait until we came back.
Oh, right. Yes. That passage is very interesting because, as you say, she's not telling people not to listen to Paul. You know, or she wasn't calling out to worship some other god or something.
Right.
She was saying something that sounded very good and affirming. You know, they're bondservants of the Most High, and that sounded good. And they're proclaiming, even though she said a way and not the way, that was still not terrible. I think in that culture, there were so many competing philosophies, and, you know, different cities had different gods. And so, you know, people didn't really expect you know, they didn't think it was unusual probably that somebody was proclaiming a way. So everything she said sounded good. And I think part of that is because if she had been saying something against Paul or against Christ, immediately, he would have immediately maybe noticed that or taken action at that point. But because she was not saying anything like that, it actually went on for a little while, apparently, before he did anything.
Right.
And whatever caused him to do that, I don't know. Maybe the Holy Spirit said, "Okay, this you need to stop her."
Probably but, didn't. He associated with her because he knew that she was a medium.
And that was another thing too. Yes, you don't want something that so you don't want affirmation for your what you're saying as far as it, when it comes to salvation and Jesus Christ. You don't want affirmation from a source of evil. You know, you don't want to be, because like you said, that would associate him with her. And that could be not only confusing, but very deceptive. And that's part of what the deception is today, is that a lot of things in the New Age and even the occult appear to be good or appear to be Christian, and Christian terms and things are used, and that makes it more deceptive.
Yeah, in fact, let me throw this out there, and I know I'll be really offending some people, but for years I have been conducting debates with evangelical theologians and Roman Catholic theologians. And I remember years ago in the 90s, when I was still doing this on Long Island, where I'm originally from, a friend of mine, Roman Catholic friend, said that one of the reasons he knew that the Catholic Church was real was because of Mary's appearance at Fatima. And I said to him, "Well, how do you know that was Mary?" And he said, "Because Mary was telling people to believe in Jesus and follow him." I said, that's no proof. Mm. And I brought up this very text about the slave girl who was saying something that included very true things that were pro-God, but she was still a servant of Satan. So people have to be very careful. Just because they think something sounds like it's from God doesn't mean it necessarily is.
Right.
But perhaps you could tell us also, so you said that these astrological readings involve divinations. What are you actually experiencing? Is it something that you are seeing, hearing? How do you know that these so-called spirit guides are giving you information and all that kind of thing?
Well,
I should say in past tense, of course. You're not doing that now.
Right. Well, it's hard to explain. It was just it wasn't a physical thing, but it was a sort of awareness. I felt what I often used to say, even when I did astrology, was that I felt tuned in to the chart. I felt connected to the chart. And it was almost like an invisible link came up and snapped into place, you know, and there I was connected to the chart. And then as I looked at the chart, you know, certain parts of it would kind of seem magnified to me, not physically, but just, you know, in terms of what got my attention. And I would just start there. And then it would lead me once I started somewhere and kind of got into the flow of it, it would just kind of flow. It would all start coming to me. It would all be connected. And I often thought, I didn't know for sure, but I often thought some of this was guidance from my spirit guide or guides it was guidance and combined with my own interpretations and analysis. But sometimes what often happened during these readings is I would get what I call psychic information, either in the form of a picture in my mind or words that would come to me that I did not think were connected to the chart. They weren't connected to astrology. It was more like what would happen maybe if you're a psychic and you're doing a psychic reading. You know, you get certain pictures in your mind or certain words come to your mind that are connected to the person, to the client. And that's what would happen to me. So that also happened. Now, it did not happen every time I did a chart, but it happened a lot of times. And so when these things came to me, I often they were very specific and I just knew, they were true. And so I would say this to the person and they would usually be surprised and say, oh, yeah, that's true. How did you know that? So, you know, there were several times things like that happened. And sometimes it would starts off with something vague and then it became specific. So one time I was looking at this woman's chart and I was looking at something that had to do with her childhood. The fourth house in the chart has to do with childhood and influence of parents, among other things. But that's one of the primary things. And because of the planets there and their connection to other planets, I saw something very negative about her relationship with her mother. And something that indicated to me she had been separated from her mother for a while. And so I told her that. And I said, I feel like your mother had some kind of illness or something. And she was not around all the time when you were growing up. And this woman said, looked very surprised that I knew that. And she said, yes, that's true. And then she told me her mother had mental illness and at certain times in her childhood had been in some kind of institution and was not around. So what I said to her was true. Now, I didn't say specifically her mother had been mentally ill and had been in an institution, but what I saw was a problem with her mother, something that might have been connected to illness, and that it separated her from her mother. Now, I didn't know if she was physically separated. You know, it could have been a separation where the mother just did not interact with the daughter very much. But in this case, in the case of this woman, it was really true. There had been a physical separation. So lots of things like that happened when I was doing the reading. Now, I attribute that, if it is not coincidence, which some of them might have been, I attribute to the guidance, you know, the information from the spirit guides. Which I'm going to repeat again, they're fallen angels in case anyone has just tuned into the program and they're wondering who is she talking about? Who are these spirit guides?
In fact, I wanted to mention
they're fallen angels.
Let's return to that when we come back from our midway break. Send in your questions to our guest, Marcia at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back right after these messages from our sponsors.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I am Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a sales slump in their book sales. So please go to solid-ground-books.com today and make a purchase. If you've never made a purchase before, make today your first purchase. If you purchase before and even regularly, please make your largest purchase possible at solid-ground-books.com today. We depend on solid-ground-books.com and the financial support that their advertising campaigns provide for us. We depend upon that to exist. So please help solid-ground-books.com continue to exist so that they may continue to be generous to us financially. And remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print and publish for the first time nothing but the very finest in Christian literature dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. That's solid-ground-books.com. Visit that site frequently and purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to our guest today, I have some very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, you don't want us to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, the old-fashioned way, mailing a physical check to a physical address at your local post office, well, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your business, your private practice like a medical firm or a law firm, or perhaps it's your church or parachurch ministry or just a special event that you are a part of that you want to promote. Whatever it is, as long as it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now for donations. And for advertising, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Keep in mind, folks, I never want any of my listeners to cut in to the finances that you have set aside to give to your own local church on the Lord's Day in order to support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are back on your feet and more financially stable. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money in the bank collecting interest for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and don't want us to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church, just as I have done with many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience globally. Sometimes even I have been able to find churches within minutes from where these people live, even if they are from different parts of the world. So that may be you. You may be without a church home that's biblically faithful. So send me an email, no matter where in the world you live, and I may be able to help you find a church. Send the email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. And that's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Marcia Montenegro. And we are talking about her former life as an astrologer before she was saved by the grace, mercy, and blood of Jesus Christ. chrisarnson@gmail.com gives you the first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And Marcia, we do have a listener in Fredericksburg, Maryland, who has a question. And I want to make sure I get some questions from our listeners in today, because we did not get any listeners' questions on the air, read on the air. And I will be including some or all of the people that sent in questions yesterday. I will be including their questions. But I want to read one first that came in today, because it relates to your comments before the midway break. We have Kat in Fredericksburg, Maryland. I'm assuming that's short for Catherine. I don't know that, but Kat in Fredericksburg, Maryland says, how do you know that these were fallen angels that you were in contact with? You are muted, Marcia.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm back. I'm back. Yeah, sorry about that. During the break, I did that. Okay, that's a good question. This is how I answer that question. First of all, I was involved with something that God forbids. I was involved, and these spirit guides that I call fallen angels, I had encountered my first one, or the main one, through that guided visualization, which I discussed yesterday. And this was done by a group of people, a class that I was in, and they were teaching basically principles that are against Christ and against God's word. They were teaching ideas that have to do with you on your own spiritual path, deciding things for yourself. There never was any mention of God. There was never any mention of Jesus Christ by these people. And that's where I was introduced to this spiritual master or spirit guide. Later, I believe I had other guides, according to some psychics that I talked to. But these were all in the context of occult and New Age teachings. Everything I was learning and every person that I was following and learning from was opposed to Christ. All of these people have beliefs that are in opposition to the truth and to the true Jesus. And that was my spirituality at the time. And I know that I was opposed to the true Jesus, and I was opposed to the idea of who God is in the Bible. Well, I didn't really understand who God was, basically. I had a very vague New Age God. And because I was following those teachings, and that was my spiritual path and the path of all the people I was learning from, and I was engaged in an occult practice, astrology, which is a form of divination and forbidden by God. Therefore, no angels who are good and serve God are going to help me do something that is opposed to God. God will not send an angel to help you do something against him. He's not going to serve the purposes of those opposed to him, which is what I was doing, because I made astrology look good. I believed it. My clients thought I was really good, and they were getting good information, so it helped them believe in astrology. Yeah. And so basically, that's the answer, is that no good angel would be involved in such practices.
Well, let me follow up with my own question. How do you know that this was actually genuine manifestations of the spirit world, the supernatural? How do you know that it's just not something that was being conjured up in your own mind due to the power of suggestion, just like when studies are done with medicines and they use placebos that are nothing more than sugar or whatever they're putting in the capsule that they're giving the people involved in the experiment? How do you know that it's not something that was just in your mind, and that it was actually genuine manifestations of the dark world of the spirits?
Well, I think because of some of the accuracy and some of the things that I saw that I was talking about earlier, when I would get pictures in my mind. I didn't give all the examples. I just gave one. I had other examples that were more specific and concrete.
Dead again. Can you hear me, Marcia?
Yeah.
For some reason,
My mic is on. You're frozen now. I think something's wrong with the internet.
Yeah,
maybe
it's
an internet. It's an internet connection. I think that sometimes it's interrupted.
Okay. Yes, but there is, thankfully, the interruptions are brief. But continue speaking.
Okay. Because of some of the very specific knowledge I was given, and not just during astrology readings, but other times, you know, when I was not doing astrology, because I also, something happened that was after I was saved. But during the time, I can't prove there was anybody guiding me. I can only tell you what I experienced, what the Bible says about angels. See in the Bible that angels do watch humans. They are around, fallen angels and good angels. Jesus himself referred to unclean spirits, which are the fallen angels.
Right.
And we have been warned in the New Testament about doctrines of demons, which I believe in that passage relates to false teachings. Because Satan and the demons are behind deception, and they try to deceive people through teachings that appear to be Christian but are not. So I think that, you know, we know the reality of the angelic world, and we know the reality of deception according to what God tells us. And so if anything supernatural was guiding me and giving me information, it was a fallen angel. So I'll put it that way. I don't claim to be able to prove it, but that's why I say they're fallen angels, in order to answer her question.
Let me just very quickly ask another question of my own before I go on to another listener question. I've asked a number of people this to get their opinion, and I know nobody can be 100% sure that they're giving me an accurate answer. But during a period of my life when I was backslidden and fell off the wagon after 18 years of sobriety, and began being involved in habitual drunkenness. I was going to bars and drinking heavily. And at least on three, could have been more, but at least on three separate occasions, in three separate bars, I encountered three different people who said to me, "Hey, you're that pastor, aren't you?" And I would say, "No, I'm not a pastor, never been a pastor. I'm a Christian, but I'm not a pastor." "Oh, yes, you're a pastor." And I kept saying, "No, I'm not. I don't know where you got that information, but I'm not a pastor." "Oh, you're that pastor, all right." And they said the same thing every time, these different people in different places. I've always wondered if these people were demonically influenced. And because of the fact that demons are not omniscient, they can get information screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And but for some reason, they always mentioned, they always called me a pastor. And the fact that is the thing that makes it more eerie to me. Because if they had just said, "Aren't you a born-again Christian?" that could have been something that they heard anybody say. "You know, that guy goes to this and this church and so on. This guy is well-known as being a born-again Christian in his town." That could have been something easily found out by somebody. But because of this mistake being so specific and repeated with different people, it made me wonder. Well, I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I don't know. I don't really usually like to comment on things like that because I don't feel like I should be the person who would know the answer. I, you know, other things I can comment on when I know a situation really well, or the person's involved in the occult, then I'm or the New Age, I'm really good with my insights on the situation. But this is so random. I can't even remember if you said you were a Christian at the time or not.
Yes, I was. I was backslidden.
Yeah, but if this was demonic, what was the purpose of it?
I think that maybe even God was using these demonically inspired people to embarrass me.
Well, that could be. Yeah, that could be.
Because God uses the devil as his tool. I mean,
yeah,
the devil doesn't do anything without God's permission, just like with Job.
Right. Well, it could be God was trying to convict you, make you feel embarrassed that, you know, here you were a Christian, but you were not acting like a Christian. And here's this person saying, "Well, aren't you a pastor?" You know, that would kind of make you think, "No, I'm not a pastor." But then your immediate thought probably for that was, "But I am a Christian," you know, and then you're thinking, and then that should convict you because, "Hey, I'm a Christian, but look how I'm living and look where I am." You know, I don't know. I mean, that's, yeah, I agree with you. Maybe it was to convict you. But I don't know. You know, that's,
again,
I think that's something.
Hopefully, you are going to come back.
Oh, yeah. I'm.
No,
I'm
no, you're here. Fine. You're fine now.
Okay.
You're fine.
Okay.
We have Seth in Hummelstown, Pennsylvania. Greetings, Chris.
Okay.
And Marcia, I recently heard an interview discussing the United States government's funding of a remote viewing program, where one of the end goals was seeing into a hostile nation's military works.
Yeah.
Is remote viewing related to astrology and the occult? Or could it be a legitimate scientific endeavor?
Yes, I actually think maybe that's from several years ago, although I could be wrong. My understanding of that is that they did start that program in response to the fact that Russia supposedly, or maybe the Soviet Union, was using remote viewing. And then supposedly the government, the U.S. government, said they were going to implement it. I forgot where I read it, and I feel like I read it quite a while ago. So I don't know if they're still using it. But remote viewing is basically, I would call it a form of using psychic abilities. So it would be either seeing something, you know, distantly in a psychic way, or perhaps claiming that you could actually travel there out of your body and see things. But I think in the case of remote viewing, it was mostly seeing things in your mind. So it would be like a psychic claiming that, you know, they could see what's happening, you know, in some house in another country or something. Right now, they could see it. I didn't actually know any psychics who claimed anything like that. But if anybody did claim it, that would be a supernatural ability. And so therefore, it would be classified as an occult activity. And it would be, yes, condemned. It's condemned by God. Any psychic, any supernatural ability like that is part of the occult. And that would be definitely evil.
Now, something similar goes on sometimes with police departments and perhaps even the FBI, although I'm not 100% certain about that, where you have a missing person, perhaps even especially a missing child, and the police will hire someone who believes that they can clairvoyantly find these missing people. Is that all just bunk?
They don't hire them. No, this is what happens.
Okay.
Especially when you have a missing person. All these people will give their ideas or whatever to the police. And some of them are psychics who will say, oh, I had a vision and I saw where this person is. From what I've read about this, and I looked into this quite a bit because of that program that was on TV a number of years ago that was very popular, based on a true psychic in Texas who supposedly helped the police. So first of all, people should know the police cannot turn down anybody. You know, if I called the police today about a missing person and said, hey, I had this dream that that person is in a ditch by the side of Highway 42 in, you know, Farmsville, Iowa or whatever, they would have to follow it up or they would at least have to consider it. So they have to accept anything. That doesn't mean that they are asking psychics. They don't ask psychics for information, from my understanding, and they don't pay them. That's for sure.
So these people could even be either eyewitnesses fraudulently claiming to be psychics, or they could be the perpetrator themselves, the actual kidnapper or murderer.
I don't think it's ever been shown they're the perpetrator. I think they're just either psychics who are who maybe genuinely think that they know where the missing person is. And genuinely want to help the police, or they want to draw attention to themselves, perhaps, in case what they say to the police turns out to be true, then they can say, I helped the police solve this case. Now, what I've been told, actually, there's a very good article I read several years ago, and I actually have posted this on Facebook. It's by a man who worked for the FBI for like 20 or 30 years. He was an FBI profiler. I don't remember his name. He said there is not a single case, not a single case he knows of in all the time he was at the FBI where a psychic helped the FBI solve any case at all. He said they got a lot of information that was offered by psychics. And, you know, that happened just like the police get the same kind of thing. It happens with the FBI as well. You know, like somebody's kidnapped and they don't know where they are, that kind of thing. He said nothing any psychic ever said helped them solve a case. And I think this is probably true for the police. And let me give you an example of how it can sound like it's true. A psychic can say, I had a vision of this person. And, you know, let's say especially somebody who's been missing a long time and is probably likely to be dead. The psychic will say, oh, I see this person in the wooded area, you know, and there's shrubs, a lot of trees around them, and you can't see them. Well, the chances are very good that somebody who's been killed, if the killer wants to hide the body, has buried them in woods or thrown their body in the water. So maybe they'll say, I see a body of water. And so the so-called clues or the information they give out are sometimes so broad that it's going to actually fit a lot of cases just by coincidence. But they never give specific information. If they could really give something useful, if supposedly psychic powers were that good, then they could say, all right, you know, it's off route 305 and go 5 miles east down this road and then go 50 yards and you'll find the body. Okay, you do that. Then you've got something to brag about. But so far, that's never happened. As far as I know, that has never happened.
No, and by the way, I just wanted to let you know why I brought up the possibility of somebody making a clairvoyant claim about a kidnapping who might be an eyewitness or the perpetrator. What I meant by that is maybe that's why the police have to follow up on it. That's what I meant by that.
Well, yes. I mean, in the case where they maybe know of a connection between that person and the person who's missing or whatever. That might be if they think there's anything to it, they might, you know, they would follow it up. But that's another matter. That's a matter of police procedure, which I'm not an expert on, even though I love murder mysteries. But that's another story. So, you know, I would say that, and some people might be wondering, well, if you got accurate, you know, information when you were doing charts, then why aren't some of these psychics seeing where the missing person is? And my answer to that is that I don't think God allows these spirit guides to, they aren't omniscient, of course, and I don't think he allows them to get that information, because it's not going to, he's not going to allow Satan to be somebody who gets his work, you know, given some kind of credibility. So I think maybe even if Satan maybe happens to know where the missing person is, that maybe God would not allow the psychic to get that information.
Okay, we have Brody in Sherbrooke, Canada. And Brody asks, are there any famous psychics or astrologers that you are aware of, perhaps those that have become TV personalities, who you think are the real deal and not total fakes and charlatans?
All right. Well, I have to go back to what I said earlier about the con artists. The people who do, is he saying anybody on the media?
Yeah, like a famous person. Even Gene Dixon, for instance. You mentioned Gene Dixon yesterday. Who actually made, like, astrology a very palatable thing for an average American home.
Well, my understanding is she was a psychic, not an astrologer. And how much astrology she knew, I don't know. You don't have to know a lot to write the horoscope column. But let me bring up somebody more recent that people might know, like Sylvia Brown, even though she died a number of years ago, a very famous medium psychic, and who was always on that weekly program that man had, whose name escapes me now. And the other, John Edward, who's written a lot of books and got famous because of his program on TV, and then wrote a lot of books. And James Van Prague, who's a medium and has a lot of bestsellers. Okay, I've read books by all three of these people. I think from what I've read, I think they are genuine about their beliefs and what they are doing. Now, sometimes if they're doing it and it's on TV or something like that, and they aren't really getting information, they might try to guess just because they don't want to say they don't know, you know, they don't have the answer. So in some cases, they might be guessing, or it might be coming from their imagination. But I think they are genuinely involved in occult practices. John Edward and James Van Prague and Sylvia Brown all talked about their spirit guides. Sylvia Brown even told how she met her spirit guide, and she was 8 years old at the time. And that's when she encountered her spirit guide, whom she called Francine. And she said 95% of the information she got about what she called the other side, which is where you go after you die, she said 95% of the information she had on that came from Francine. So I think sometimes if they are guessing and not actually using a psychic ability in public, it's because they're not getting the information psychically or supernaturally. But I think they're all genuine. I don't think they're fakes all of the time. Let me put it that way. I don't think they're just con artists. I think they actually believe in what they're doing. You know, how they're doing it all the time. Maybe sometimes they're, you know, fudging or whatever. But I would not put them down as just a con artist, is what I'm saying. So I think that, and unless you know otherwise, when you see people like this on the internet or on TV or whatever, I think it's better to assume they're genuinely involved with this and they have spirit guides, because you don't want to even watch or listen to these people. There's no reason to listen to them. Any message they give is going to be against Christ. And even if they try to sound Christian, I mean, John Edward was Catholic and so was James Van Prague. And John Edward used to even do readings for nuns. He said nuns came to see him. Now, I think he eventually left the Catholic Church, James Van Praagh, I'm not sure. James Van Praagh actually went to seminary to become a priest. And then while he was in seminary, he had this experience, and he left seminary and went into his career as a psychic medium. But I think most of the time, I don't deny there are con artists and frauds out there, but I think most of the time the people we're seeing are genuinely involved in the occult.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. We have Trish in Watertown, Connecticut. And Trish says, I have seen demonstrations of people on television that amazingly seem to be correctly guessing details about the lives of people randomly pulled out of the audience regarding the death or illness of close family members and other things. But then later, these people have in some ways proven to be charlatans. How are they doing these tricks?
I don't know who she's talking about. The only person I can think of that I know of is actually not a psychic, but and he's still around. Popoff, his name is Paul Popoff or something.
Oh,
like
he was
that.
A false evangelist, right? A Pentecostal evangelist.
Right. Well, he's back. Apparently he's back. And he was exposed because what he did, he would give information to people, you know, like, oh, you know, somebody here has heart disease. And I think her name is, you know, Mary or something. And then there would be a woman there named Mary who had heart disease. Apparently he had people getting information from people waiting in line, and he had something in his ear, some kind of microphone. And then somebody who knew about the person was giving him the information. And that was, I think that may have been, he was exposed, maybe even before I became a Christian, I'm not sure. But he was exposed as a complete fraud. And he's the only person I know of like that. Now, maybe other people have been exposed, but I don't know about those situations. So yes, and like I just said, there are people out there who are frauds. But in this case, this person I know about was a so-called Christian evangelist.
But aren't there people who do know how to do tricks to manipulate certain information out of strangers?
But that's not my field. That's not what my ministry deals with. I don't deal with that. That's another area. You go to Randy, James Randy, or whatever his name is.
The Amazing Randy?
Yeah, Amazing Randy. He's the one who tries to expose those people. He thinks all of them are doing tricks.
He also denounces Christianity.
I don't investigate that, huh?
He also denounces Christianity and is a
homosexual. Well, yeah, he does. Now, some of the people he exposes may be fakes. You know, I wouldn't doubt that. But he doesn't believe it's supernatural, so.
I seem to recall, and I can't remember if the Amazing Randy was a part of it. Years ago, the Amazing Kreskin was on David Letterman. And David Letterman made sure that his team on his show very rigidly controlled everything involved with the so-called performance of clairvoyance that Kreskin attempted, and he failed at everything. Do you know anything about Kreskin? Because that goes back to my childhood.
I just know his name, but I've never watched him. I've never read anything. I know the name, and that's pretty much it. I think that, there was a spoon-bending guy.
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly, I think, was exposed because he was spending spoons with his mind. That was exposed as a trick. So what you have in that that's a category, basically, like magicians pulling rabbits out of hats.
So
there are people who have tricks who can do those kind of things. But what I'm talking about is the people who are getting information supernaturally, not doing tricks. I'm not talking about people bending spoons. My area is the people getting information through divination, through spirit contact, and that kind of thing. And I think that while we recognize there are the tricksters out there and the con artists, we have to recognize there's a real supernatural element because there really are fallen angels. And I believe there are examples of this in scripture. So I think that, you know, and we also see it. Revelation talks about the, you know, the Antichrist, or he's called the Beast, seeming to recover from a fatal wound, mm-hmm. And performing signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. You know, now is this trickery or real? We don't know, but I do believe that some passages do show it's real, and I do believe that we have that. I don't see how a Christian cannot believe that people can have help from fallen angels. To me, yeah, it's kind of just a given.
and I'm assuming that you would say that anytime a person goes to a medium or is involved in a seance, that the people identifying themselves as a deceased loved one, that's just a fallen angel masquerading?
Yes. I believe that someone going to contact a dead relative, that the medium would, you know, they go through a process of, I have been in seances. You mentioned seance much earlier. Mm-hmm. And I was in seances because some of my teachers, one of them in particular was a psychic medium. And one of the things she did, her main thing really, was she would go to places where supposedly dead people were haunting the place, and she would make contact to get them to leave. And that was one of the things she did. And she used to do seances. Our class would go down to the basement where it was darker and the lights were dim, and we would be sitting in a circle, and we did seances for the purpose of contacting dead relatives of the class members. And so they go through a process of this, and then I think they, you know, they see or hear somebody, and I believe that that is, a demonic entity. I believe that's a fallen angel. Now, I was in that seances that we did, I even got, you know, sitting there one time, I saw in my mind, and I felt that this was the presence of the person in the circle, this certain person, and I started describing what I saw. And then somebody, you know, one of the other people in the class said, oh, I think I know who that is. You know, that's my uncle, you know, Uncle Gerald, you know, who died, you know, 18 years ago or whatever.
Right.
So, you know, that kind of thing would happen. And I think, you know, in some cases, maybe, you know, people are just imagining what they're seeing or hearing. In some cases, it's a fallen angel. See, that's the thing. We can't really always know for sure.
Right.
And, you know, that's the deception of it. This is, we're dealing with a realm that is mm-hmm. unseen, and that God has not given us very information on, which is probably right. a good thing. And so how it all works and operates and how these fallen angels do these things, we don't really know. And like I say, I think that's a good thing we don't know. And
we have to
speculate too much on it either.
Okay, we have to go to our final break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Okay.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. I do want to remind our listeners, you have been hearing ads every day for the Historical Bible Society. And don't forget that that organization was founded by and is currently operated by my dear friend of many years, in fact, decades, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you are the victim of a serious injury or medical malpractice, please call his law firm at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. And please remember to mention that you heard about Buttafuoco and Associates from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to give this word to any of our listeners, perhaps that may be predominantly from my own theological background, who may be Reformed, who may be more prone to write off all of this as a bunch of hooey. I want to remind you that one of our heroes, at least the heroes of most Reformed people I know, A.W. Pink. A.W. Pink was, before he was a Christian, was involved in the occult. In fact, it was the Theosophical Society in England. And he said that he witnessed supernatural experiences of the demonic realm that you could not write off as parlor tricks. That they were convincing, very convincing to him, were the real thing. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because there might be some people who just totally think that all we're speaking about today is nonsense. If you could, this is a very important part of our interview. What was it that happened in your life as an astrologer that brought you to the point where you said, I got to bring this to an end in my life. I've got to repent of this. This is from Satan, and I need Jesus Christ. I need his atoning blood. How did this all happen?
Oh, yeah. Well, that actually takes a while to do, and we're not going to have very much time for it. That's really a long story. But we were answering questions and stuff, which is good. So I'm going to have to sum it up. I started feeling, and this was when I was still president of the Astrological Society, I started feeling a compulsion to go to a church. I didn't know why or where this was from, and I ignored it. It was very strong. It wouldn't go away. This started around April, and then it continued through the summer. During the summer, I went to an astrological conference in Oregon and spoke there. I did two workshops. I was around other astrologers and some Wiccans and psychics and other people, a well-known numerologist who had written books. That was the second time I'd gone to that conference. I came back to Atlanta, where I was living at the time, and I still had the compulsion. So I decided that it probably came from a past life as a Christian. I did believe in reincarnation, and I believed I had lived as a Christian in previous lives. And so I thought, well, this is probably from a past life, and it's something that's unresolved. So I decided to go to this large church downtown. I had driven by them before, and I knew they had a soup kitchen. And so I kind of chose them for that reason, and because they were large and I didn't think anybody would know me. So, of course, I could have gone to any church and nobody would have known me because I wasn't going to church. So I went into the church. I sat in the back at the end of the aisle, because the end of the pew, because I wanted to leave early. And I actually decided I would leave after 15 or 20 minutes. And the service began with music, and everyone stood up, and they had a procession from the back of the church with a young boy carrying a cross. And as he passed me, I felt what I call a waterfall of love. I didn't think of it as that at the time. I didn't really know what to think, but it was this love pouring down on me, coming from what I believed to be a personal God. Now, it's important to know I didn't believe in a personal God. Okay, God was a force, was an energy that we all came from. I had this New Age idea of God. So I didn't understand this personal God, and who was basically telling me he loved me. I was kind of shocked by this, and I actually started crying, and I ended up staying for the whole service. And then I decided to come back the following Sunday, just because, not because I expected anything to happen, but I just wanted to be there where it had happened. And so I started going to that church, which was, by the way, a very, very, very open-minded Episcopal church. And so, and as
open-minded in a good or a bad way, because we know that the Episcopal church is off the charts in the left-wing area.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, they were open-minded in the sense of not sticking to doctrine. I mean, they did in the service, kind of, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, they were open to other views. Let me put it that way.
Probably even the astrology.
Well, yeah, actually, a few people that I met when I told them I was an astrologer asked for my business card. And that's the reason I kept going. But I also had clients who were Methodists, and I actually spoke to a Methodist Sunday school when I was an astrologer. But I'm going to get off track here if I get into that. So I thought it was okay to be there because I thought. But I started within a few short weeks, I started getting an impression from this personal God, and this is the only way I know how to express it, an impression that he did not like astrology. I just kind of ignored it, of course, because I was an astrologer, so I ignored it. And within a short time after that, I got this impression that God was telling me to stop. Now, I didn't hear a voice, it was just this impression. God was telling me to stop. Of course, looking back on it now as a Christian, I think this was the Holy Spirit working on me. And so I resisted that for a while. A lot of very strange things happened during this time that I will have to skip over for the sake of time. Very unusual things that I think showed that God was working on me. And so what happened was the night before Thanksgiving, I decided to give astrology up. This was after I went to see the rector of the parish and told him more or less what was happening, not in detail. And he said to me, okay, let me read you some things. And he got out the Bible and he started reading these passages in the Old Testament about divination and how God condemned it and how they used to read the liver of animals, or that's what he told me they did. And I was sitting there thinking, why is he telling me all this? You know, because I don't read the liver of animals. So I wasn't totally getting it, but it kind of sunk in that this was what he was telling me, was that it was in the Bible that I shouldn't be doing astrology. That was kind of the message. And I thought, well, I guess I'm really have to give it up. And I actually made the decision to give it up. Now, I was not a Christian. And so there was a time period there where I stopped being an astrologer. My clients were calling me. I told them I couldn't do charts for them because I didn't just do a birth chart for people. I usually did updates on their charts. So I would see them maybe every 6 months or a year. And I also did relationship charts and marriage charts. So people would come back to me for those kind of charts or to do charts for their children. So I had, you know, clients who would come see me several times, not just one time. And so I told them I can't do astrology anymore, and I would give them the name of another astrologer. Now, some of them asked me, why can't you do it? Some of them didn't ask me. Some said, why? And I said, well, somehow astrology is separating me from God. And they would say, how is it doing that? And I would say, I don't know, because I didn't. So that was it. And they would be like, okay. And so that was the end of the conversation. And so during this time period, I'm still going to the church. I don't know what's happening. I haven't been able to tell you about the job that I got from one of my clients to actually give him astrological information on the employees. And so I was getting paid for that, but I couldn't tell my boss I wasn't doing astrology anymore because he was on this leave of absence until January. And now we're into after Thanksgiving and he's still gone, so I can't tell him. So during this time, I stop astrology. I do my last three charts. I decide to start reading the Bible. And I started with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, because I'm a very organized person. And so I said, I'm going to start in the very first book of the New Testament. I did not want to read the Old Testament, which was a big mystery to me. And I started with Matthew. And I'm reading a little bit every night. And the thing that really struck me was how pure the words were. They were very pure. And that's the only way I knew how to describe them. I thought, this is not like any book I've ever read before because the words are pure. And I get to Matthew chapter 8, and I'm reading the account of Jesus on the boat and the storm that comes up, and the disciples get scared, and Jesus rebukes the sea and the wind. And that account it grabbed me, and I kept reading it over and over again. And as I was rereading it, God opened my eyes, and I saw who Jesus really was. I had a New Age Jesus, a spiritual teacher like Buddha. I saw who Jesus really was. I knew the story of the cross because I had gone to church in Sunday school. I knew he died on the cross. I never got it. At that moment, I understood why he died on the cross. I understood I had been going on a path completely opposed to God my whole life, that everything I believed was wrong and was false. And I realized I needed Christ, that I needed a savior. So I just basically turned my life over to Christ at that moment. And I immediately, this all happened very fast. I knew that I was a Christian. Then I knew I was a new person. Basically, it's like I knew something major had happened and I was a new person. And so from that moment on, of course, my life dramatically shifted. I eventually had to tell my boss I couldn't do it anymore. Also, of course, then I really had to cut my ties with astrology and everything. At first, this is very weird, Chris, I couldn't go near my books. I had a bookcase with astrology and occult and New Age books on it, and I couldn't go over to my bookcase for about 2 or 3 weeks. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to go near the books. And I couldn't, in the bookstore, I couldn't go near those books either. I just couldn't go near them. So there was lots of things going on. I found out, but I do need to say this because I was still at that job because my boss gave me busy work. There was a young man there who was a Christian. And he came into my office one day. Now, I had told him in January, December, that I'd become a Christian. I became a Christian right before Christmas. So I gave astrology up the night before Thanksgiving. I became a Christian 4 days before Christmas. This young man I knew was a Christian. And when I told him, he didn't say anything. But a few months later in April, he came into my office and I said, Jeff, it is so hard for me to believe that a few months ago I was an astrologer and now I'm a Christian. And I didn't even want to be a Christian. And now I am a Christian. And he had this little smile and he said, maybe somebody was praying for you. And I said, no, I said, I don't know anybody who would pray for me. And I'm looking at him and he has this little smile. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Were you praying for me? And he said, my young adult fellowship group at my church and I have been praying for you for over a year. He had been praying for me all during that time when I had the compulsion to go to the church and all those things happened. They were praying for me. They met every other Tuesday night and they were praying for me.
And praise God for that. And that's where we have to end it. We're out of time.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that our listeners have your website. It's ChristianAnswersNewAge.com. ChristianAnswersNewAge.com. I want to thank you so much for being such a fascinating guest. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.